Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49, please. We're going to study the life of Benjamin. Genesis chapter 49. Now we come to the last of the 12 sons of Jacob. Benjamin, the youngest son of Jacob, born at the same in the same hour that Rachel, his mother, died. And Benjamin wasn't around when Joseph was sold into slavery. And maybe this is why Joseph favored him as his younger brother. What will Jacob say of Benjamin and the tribe of Benjamin? Well, let's note here in verse number 27. Genesis chapter 49. Verse 27, we'll read, and then we'll read verse 28 as well, and then we'll pray. Genesis chapter 49, verses 27 and 28. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them, everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. Let's bow for prayer. Our God, we are thankful for the reminder of your great love towards us. And I do ask and pray if there are some here in our midst that have yet to personally experience that love in the person of Jesus Christ, we pray they might come to the Savior this day. Please speak to our hearts, Lord, challenge us, even rebuke us if needs be. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Benjamin was Father Jacob's favorite. And as I've mentioned, Benjamin wasn't born when Joseph was sold into slavery, and how delighted he was to meet his little brother. And no doubt Joseph had a soft spot for him, and Father Jacob favored him. And I could imagine that maybe Joseph is anticipating some wonderful words concerning his little brother. We noted the other week there God's choice words to Joseph in verses 22 to 26, where God said via Father Jacob that Joseph, you will be fruitful because you have endured adversity. And so Jacob had much good to say of his son Joseph. So I can imagine for Joseph is probably standing there and possibly thinking to himself, wow, you know, this is going to be the crescendo. This is going to be it. He's elevated me, and I'm thankful for that. But here's my little brother, Benjamin, and what's Dad got to say about Benjamin? Well, Jacob had a little bit to say about Benjamin. And note then, verse number 27, once again, the Bible reads, Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. We have stressed during this little series that there is some reference to the son specifically, but also we have to bear in mind that these prophecies that are made on the behalf of each of the sons by Father Jacob have some reflection as to what becomes of their people, their tribe. So as Jacob addresses Benjamin, he's also referring to what will become of the tribe of Benjamin. Jacob prophesied that he will become a reigning of. Now, the tribe of Benjamin was a small tribe, and it had some famous people that tribe, people like Mordecai, Esther. They were from the tribe of Benjamin. The people of Benjamin, their territory they were given was just a small allotment. It was a rugged area within the land of Israel, but it was a very strategic part of the land. That as far as defense was concerned, it was a very important part of the land of Israel. And the territory allotted to Benjamin was often under attack because of that very fact, because it was very strategically located. And Father Jacob said, Benjamin shall reign as a wolf. Jacob prophesied that he would become a ravening wolf, devouring his prey, dividing the spoils thereof, the goods thereof. Now, what did Jacob mean by this very graphic, graphic picture of baby Benjamin, little brother Benjamin? Can you imagine Joseph? I'd imagine his jaw dropped and he's probably thinking to himself, Dad has called my little brother, his favorite, a wolf, a ravening wolf. Why the likeness to a wolf? I'm glad you've asked. The wolf is the largest member of the canine family. A wolf can weigh up to 100 pounds, and it's a very powerful predator. Dangerous. Wolves are dangerous. Note the word raven there in verse 27. The word means to pluck off or to pull. It literally means to tear and crush in pieces. Benjamin, you will literally pluck and pull and tear to pieces. Raven wolf. Consider a wolf. A wolf is strong, courageous, savage. I don't know of anybody that has a wolf as a pet. Subtle, cunning, cruel, vicious, all of these describe the nature of a wolf. And Jacob said, Benjamin, you are a raven wolf. Wolves are dangerous animals. In fact, the Bible likens false teachers as wolves. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And when the Lord Jesus sent out the 70 in Luke 10:3, he said, "Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." And the Apostle Paul, as he gave his last bit of advice to the pastors at the church at Ephesus, he said in Acts 20:29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And then in Ezekiel 22:27, "Her princes in the midst thereof," in reference to the nation of Israel, "are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood, to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain." And then in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 8, in referring to the Babylonians that will come in and devour God's people, "Their horses are swifter than the leopards and more fierce than the evening wolves." So I think you'd agree with me, not much good is said about the wolf in Scripture. "And Benjamin shall raven, as a wolf." Now the verse goes on to read, look at this, "In the morning he shall devour his prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil." There's a contrast here between the morning at the beginning of the day he will enjoy, consume the fruit of his labors, and then it makes reference to the night he conquers and makes gain at the expense of others. When you make reference to a spoil, it's in reference to making gain at the expense of others. When an army went in and conquered a people, they would conquer and take a spoil. They would gain from their victory. So there is a difference between the beginning of a day and the night. So what is Jacob trying to say about Benjamin? Benjamin is likened to a wolf that in the morning he devours, he consumes, he enjoys the fruit of his labors, his prey. And at night he conquers and makes gain at the expense of others. There's a paradox here. And Jacob is saying of Benjamin that your people will be bold and strong and successful in warfare, but at the same time you will be cruel and hurtful. A paradox in the life of Benjamin. As there is in the nature and activities of the wolf, strong, powerful, courageous, cunning, but yet vicious, cruel, very dangerous. And God, under divine inspiration, gives us some insight concerning what will become of Benjamin. And no doubt to teach us a very valuable, valuable lesson. We have here a paradox in the life of Benjamin, as there is in the nature and activities of a wolf. As I've said, strong, courageous, but cruel and very destructive at the same time. I'd like to submit to you the application for you and I is simply this. We need to be on guard against the danger of inconsistency. This inconsistency is evident in the wolf. Some fine qualities in the makeup of a wolf. Courageous, strong, ability to conquer, but yet at the same time, cruel, destructive, dangerous. And I believe the key to that application is found in the fact that here in verse number 27 talks about in the morning and then at night. The beginning of the day and at night. The difference between night and day. That's the title of my sermon this morning. Benjamin, the difference between night and day. This inconsistency is evident in the wolf, and God sees fit to illustrate for us the principle of inconsistency from the life of the wolf, and this is evident within the tribe of Benjamin, that there will be those that will come from your offspring that will be inconsistent. The tribe of Benjamin in Judges chapter 20 is a fine example of that. One of the tribes of Israel, but yet they opposed the rest of the tribes. A matter that concerned somebody from their tribe that needed to be dealt with, and they decided we're going to oppose the other 11 tribes, and they were successful to a point, but they took their own existence into their own hand. They could have been obliterated if it wasn't for a peace treaty that was finally agreed upon between the 11 tribes and the one. It made no sense. The 11 tribes just wanted Benjamin to deal with sin within their camp. But Benjamin got all stroppy, said, "No way, Jose." And 26,000 of them took on 400,000 and prevailed to a point. Another fine example of this inconsistency is in the life of King Saul of the tribe of Benjamin. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 9, please. First Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, the Bible reads, "And there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Becherah, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power." Verse 2, "And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any man." Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. Saul became the first king of Israel. I think within his life we have an illustration of what Father Jacob was referring to. His character corresponds to Jacob's prophecy. On the one hand, he was a mighty warrior with so much potential, and yet he died a jealous man with his little inner circle. He had no man more loyal to his cause than young David. And yet he hunted him down as if he was his own worst enemy. This inconsistency was evident in King Saul. So much potential, the wolf, strong, courageous, cunning. But yet at the same time, the wolf, cruel, dangerous, destructive. And we see that illustrated within the people of Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, and illustrated from their very king, the first king of the nation of Israel. Inconsistency. And my friend, for you and I that know Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, we all battle with this issue of consistency. Because of the battle between the flesh and the spirit, we can be just as guilty as anybody else in being inconsistent. And I believe the lesson for you and I this morning from the life of Benjamin is this issue of consistency. And Jacob said of his son that you will be an inconsistent people. And it was evident in the tribe of Benjamin there in Judges chapter 20. It's evident in the life of King Saul. So much potential. A mighty warrior. Had so much going for him, but that spirit of jealousy crept into his heart, made its permanent abode there, and as a result, he became cruel and nasty and destructive and tried to kill that very one that was loyal to him by the name of David. Note there in Galatians chapter 5 for a moment, please. Note the contrast between the works of the flesh and the work of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 16. The Bible reads, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 17, "The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another." They are at war with one another. "So that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Then note verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest," which are these. Then it goes on to read in verse 19, 20, 21, "Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, etc." This is the manifestation of the sinful nature. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, these are part of your nature. And for those of us that do know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, these are the characteristics of the flesh that we all can battle with. Because the flesh is contrary to the Spirit. And within every blood-bought child of God, there is this battle that prevails within his heart to do right, in opposition to doing wrong. And if you have no internal battle, I would submit to you that you need to be born again. If you have no problem doing wrong, committing sins as such, you have no guilt over it, well, you will have a measure of guilt. Then there's something wrong about your so-called Christian life. But if you are a genuine born-again Christian, you have the presence of God's Spirit within you, and there will be this constant battle against the flesh. Because the flesh and the Spirit are at odds one with another. So the Bible gives us some of the manifestations of the flesh, but then note then verse 22, in contrast, note the manifestation of the Spirit. How do we know that we are Spirit-filled?
Well, note then verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits. One, singular, the fruit. In other words, at the same time, if you and I are being governed by the Holy Spirit, there will be at the same time in your life and in my life, note verse 22. Let's say it together. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's a Spirit-filled Christian. The fruit of the Spirit. Oh, but Pastor, I'm okay on the love, but not the joy. Sorry, you're not Spirit-filled as you ought to be. The fruit, one fruit. Within this fruit are all one. So if I am truly Spirit-filled, then each of those marks of that one fruit will manifest itself. But if the Spirit of God isn't controlling me, then I can be subject to the flesh. The flesh, the Spirit. And just like the nature of the wolf is inconsistent, so likewise the life of the Christian can be inconsistent. And all of us can be guilty of being inconsistent. Jacob addresses Benjamin's inconsistency. And we see that fleshed out within his tribe. On the one hand, strong, courageous, victorious. On the other hand, cruel, hurtful. Consistency is something that we all struggle with, do we not? We all have a measure of inconsistency because we still have a sinful flesh. We all battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. So we all struggle with this issue of being consistent. And that's the challenge from the life of Benjamin this morning, that you and I might determine in the power of the Holy Spirit to be a consistent Christian. How can we be consistent? I think all of us would have to admit, yes, Pastor, I'm guilty, just like I'm guilty, of areas in which I could be a little bit more consistent in. And the life of a wolf illustrates that. And Father Jacob said to Benjamin, Benjamin, I liken you to a wolf. What will become of your people will be inconsistency. And what becomes of the average Christian? Inconsistency. Proven fact that Mahatma Gandhi, as he observed Christians, was not convinced it was a genuine religion. Because he noted they said one thing but did another, and therefore, as far as we know, Gandhi never confessed his faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. But no doubt he knew lots of Christians. But he didn't witness consistency. Now it might be just an excuse. I realize that. I don't know the heart of the man. But that's what was said in his biography. He looked at these Christians and he noted their life and had a big question mark as to whether they really believed that. because they certainly didn't live that.
Consistency.
Let's look at the word very briefly, consistent.
Let me give you some tips on how you and I could be more consistent. Got your pen and paper ready? It's an acrostic. C stands for consider. Consider areas in your life that need greater consistency. That's where to start. Say, Lord, show me. Maybe it's your quiet time. C stands for consider. Areas in your life that need greater consistency. For example, your quiet time. O stands for obey. Obey. Obey the word of God in that area of inconsistency. Ask yourself the question, what saith the Lord in this area? Maybe you might say, sorry for getting personal, church family, but my inconsistency has to do with my weight. Dieting. Well, obey the word of God in that area of inconsistency. 1 Corinthians 9 tells us that we need to bring our body into subjection. Say no to that second serve. You know, I'm working out that we really don't need to eat the quantities that we eat. I'm just working that out. And believe it or not, of late I've been looking at, my wife is very, very generous. Very, very generous. She feeds me as if she's feeding my teenage boys. But no offense to my dear wife, you know, I look at that quantity and I'm thinking, look, I could probably still live if I only ate half of that. And you know what? I have found that to be true. Yeah, last couple of months, you might have noticed. O stands for obey the word of God in that area of inconsistency. What's the next letter? Can you spell consistent? No. N stands for say no to anything that works against consistency. For example, wrong companionship that lure you from church. Evil communication, corrupt good manners. If you are struggling with your attendance and being in church, you need to be more consistent. You know that. Maybe you need to say no to certain companions. The next letter is S. Write it down. S stands for sin. Is there a sin in your life that is feeding your inconsistency? What fed Saul's inconsistency? It was the sin of jealousy. Is there a sin that is feeding your inconsistency? Covetousness, jealousy, laziness. Let's say it together. Laziness. I stands for identify. Identify standards of consistency for your life. Identify. Not only consider areas in your life that need greater consistency, but identify standards of consistency for your life. Maybe it's the principle of being slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to speak. And so I need to work on that. So identify standards of consistency. S, the next S, because according to my spelling, consistent has two S's. You with me? Yeah. Boy, I hope I've spelled consistent right. I meant to check it with my dear wife, but anyway, here we go. Next S, store. Write down the word store. Store in your mind the Word of God in relation to that area that is wanting consistency. Maybe you're really struggling in being consistent in your thought life. We all struggle in that area. I would strongly recommend that you memorize Philippians 4:8. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5. Amen. You know me, just keep beating the same bandwagon. Life-changing verses. So store in your mind the Word of God. T stands for track. Track your progress towards consistency in that area. For example, if you are wanting to be more consistent in your quiet time, follow a Bible reading program that will hold you accountable. Track. E stands for excellence. Write down the word excellence. When it comes to being consistent, we need to strive for excellence. Excellence is the goal, not perfection. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, the Bible teaches us, whatever you do, whatever you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Excellence. N stands for note. Note living examples in this area that you are desiring to be consistent in. For example, Bible characters. People within your realm of life. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If you are desiring to be a more consistent witness for Christ, then note living examples. Observe, note, spend time with those that can be an example to you in that regard. That's N. Then T. Are we there? Consistent. T stands for, don't miss this one, be teachable. 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 Be teachable. Be prepared to take advice, even rebuke. Have the humility to say, well, I need consistency, Pastor, this area of my life, so therefore, teach me. I'm willing to learn. Because I've got to admit to you, there are times that people ask for advice from Pastor, and I'm wondering, well, it's as if they're going shopping, looking for the best deal. And it won't really matter what I say, they will do what they're going to do, and they're going to buy their product from where they're going to buy their product from. So be teachable, consistent. Jacob addressed Benjamin's inconsistency as a wolf. Strong, courageous, victorious, but at the same time, cruel, destructive, dangerous. Benjamin, this is what will become of your people. And we see this in the lives of people like
King Saul. Consistency. Consider, obey. No. Sin. Identify. Store. Track. Excellence is the goal, not perfection. Note living examples and be teachable. Consistency. I'd like to challenge you on this Lord's Day from the life of Benjamin. I'd like to challenge you, child of God, to be consistent. We all battle with it. Don't worry, you are not an isolated case. Talk to me. All of us can be a little bit more consistent. Talk to me. Of course we can. We all battle with the flesh. We all battle with the world. We're all battling the same devil. May God help us to be consistent. And if you're serious about being a consistent Christian, I'd like to encourage you to take note of that little acrostic, and may it be some help to you and I to pursue consistency. To what end? For the glory of God. And all of God's people said, let's bow for prayer.